Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. I'm so excited to be joined by Oscar-winning makeup artist Lois Burwell, who is being honored this year by Turner Classic Movies for her outstanding makeup and prosthetic work in film over the course of her career. Her notable credits include Lincoln, Saving Private Ryan, The Princess Bride, Catch Me If You Can, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Mission Impossible, The Last Samurai, and Green Mile, just to name a few. And in 1996, she won the Academy Award for Best Makeup for her work on Braveheart. Lois, thank you for joining me.
No, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
So I want to start off by asking you about what I said at the top, which is that you're being honored. You're one of this year's two honorees by Turner Classic Movies at their annual film festival. Can you touch on what this means for you to be honored by such a prestigious film institution, in particular for your body of work, which is such a, like I said, it's such a respected institution that holds up these classical films.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm completely thrilled. I was incredibly surprised, actually, and I don't know how they even thought of me, but I'm very grateful that they did. And I'm looking forward to it tremendously, because the thing that's so marvelous is that I'll be there at screenings, not only of the films that I've worked on, but other screenings as well, with film fans. And that's always exciting. That's always a great thing, to have conversations with them and see where they've come from and what their interest is in film. I mean, I always love that.
I love that. You'll be going not just as an honoree, but as a lover of classic films, as is everyone else.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's the highlight of being invited. I get the chance to go to all the other screenings.
I want to touch on the two films of yours that are being screened as part of the festival, which is Lincoln and Almost Famous. I assume you had some role in choosing which films to screen to showcase your work. Can you touch on the significance of these two films in particular?
Well, in actual fact, I gave sort of, multiple choice, because I didn't really know what the demographic of the audience would be. And obviously TCM does. So I really want that to be the most important thing, that the audience gets something from it and that it works for the film festival. So I gave a small list, actually, of 5 to 7 films. And obviously Lincoln was, to be honest, my number one choice, because it means a lot to me. I mean, not only for the story itself, but the experience of making it. And frankly, it's out of the films I've worked on, it's the one film I can say I came close to being really happy with my own work. So there was that. Almost Famous is because it was an extraordinary film to make, because the people that were working on the film, it was part of their lives as well. It was, vaguely autobiographical for Cameron Crowe, but also Betsy Hyman, the costume designer, had known Cameron then. His mum was in the film. Cameron's mum played a small part in the film. And so it was an extraordinary sort of combination of things to work on, plus the fact I worked with my husband on that, who was the cinematographer.
That's so interesting to me, and you talking about Lincoln, how that was the project where you were, the closest to having liked it. It seems like you're your own harshest critic in that regard throughout the projects you've worked on in your career. Can you touch on why Lincoln sort of stands above the rest in that regard? Is it the research that went into it of, the man himself, and the fact that you needed to pull off the, I guess, definitive story of these years of the Civil War?
Yes, I think, it's all of the above. It's everything you've said. Plus, I just want to add to that, it was because it was such a company piece. Everyone had to work well, as they do on every film, to be perfectly honest. But it was an enormous challenge because of the facial hair of the tightness of the budget, of the amount of weeks we had to shoot. So it was really across the board, as well as Lincoln. So if you add all those facts together, plus the story, you know, I mean, I just love the story. And I really was so enamored with Lincoln. I mean, the research made me like him even more. And at that time, of course, it's several years ago now, but at that time, I think I could have sat an exam on Lincoln and passed. I knew the ins and outs of it all, but it just added to the fascination. There was a moment actually when we were doing the House of Representatives, because that was really tricky because there were extras sitting by the side of principals, and there were 58 principals in the scenes in the House of Representatives. So that alone is extraordinary because you have to have everyone of a same standard of look. And it was hell getting the call out on the first day, to be perfectly frank. And it was, you know, sort of pull your hair out time. But obviously you don't express that. That's just internally. But I went onto the set, you know, at the last moment when I'd finished doing The Last Person, and walked onto the set, and there was a rehearsal taking place, and I stood and I could see everyone together. And very unusually, I had tears come to my eyes because it worked. It was a very quiet internal yes. And that feeling, and especially when I was, you know, a screening was shown the film, but that feeling is the feeling that no one can give you and no one can take it away. It's a very special feeling that catches you by surprise.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a similar feeling that audiences have watching those scenes in that film on the House floor and Tommy Lee Jones speaking to the other side of the aisle and being confrontational with them, and you know, you rooting for Tommy as he's giving those speeches. Such magical scenes there on the House floor and recreating this mid-19th century atmosphere of the political process in America back then. And as you mentioned, you know, such a daunting task as it was, needing to recreate the look of someone like Abraham Lincoln, who's so universally known by the world today. So needing to, you know, satisfy that expectation, but also recreating the looks of all these hundreds of Congress members from 200 years ago. I could only imagine the research that went into that.
Yes, it was immense. And I have to say, you know, the Library of Congress was absolutely fantastic. They were really supportive and very helpful, and actually gave us two life casts of Lincoln, which was terrific,
wow.
One of which I still have. And the other I gave to Kenny Myers, who was my second on film. So, yeah, it was a great film to work on. It really was.
I want to touch a bit larger on your collaboration with Steven Spielberg, because that, you know, you had collaborated with him several times before Lincoln on Saving Private Ryan and Catch Me If You Can, War of the Worlds, War Horse, and then more recently, Bridge of Spies, the BFG, and more, I think the latest one was Ready Player One that you worked on with him. So I believe that's 8 films that you've worked on with him over your career. Can you touch on how this relationship came about between you and him, and what the secret is behind having such a long and healthy working relationship with him after all these years and projects?
Oh, blimey, that's a big question.
Yeah.
The potted version is this. The first time I worked with Stephen, I was actually doing the background, and it was on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in the UK. And I've always been a fan. I mean, I was the first person with a couple of friends in to see Close Encounters after the Queen had left, you know, at the Odeon Leicester Square. So standing when I was, you know, doing the crowd on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, just being on a film set with him was a thrill. And obviously working with him is another kind of thrill altogether. I like his enthusiasm. I like his visions. I like his version of storytelling, because there's always heart within it, which I really admire and I think is wonderful. He's a consummate storyteller. And I'm assuming that he quite likes my work. I mean, in subsequent years, it's been unfortunate that there's been a conflict of dates or that kind of thing going on. But I very much hope that our working relationship continues. And it's turned into, on my part, then, a deep fondness for him and his family.
Yeah. And he'll be at the festival next weekend too, as with the screening of Close Encounters. So perhaps you'll be able to bump into him when you both are there next weekend.
Oh, well, whether I bump into him or not, I am going to
Yes.
see Close Encounters of that, rest assured.
Yes. Well, if you're going, then you have to see him for sure. I want to talk about working with John, your husband, who is a cinematographer equally well respected in his craft. He won Oscars for Legends of the Fall and Braveheart as well. Can you talk about what that's like working with him on set? Is it easier working on projects where he's the DP as opposed to other projects you work on where he's not?
Well, that's a tricky question, actually. I don't really know how to answer it, other than completely honestly. Well, it's trickier in one way because you never stop working. You know, I mean, there's not that go away, there's a weekend, you come back, because over the weekend you're,
the lines
what
are
about
blurred.
this? What about that? And run this idea or that idea. And, you know, it's a two-way street now. We met on Braveheart. That's how we first met. So work has always been a part of our relationship, because that was the kind of basis of it. We met over the work. I mean, that's really how we found each other. And yes, of course, it's wonderful working with him. I've had makeup people come up to me and thank me for teaching him about makeup. But I've never had a cinematographer come up and thank me that way around. But yes, so it was, I mean, and I've learned about camera, obviously, and things like that. And yes, I mean, I think we're good working together. We don't work together all the time, because, you know, one man's meat is another man's poison, and you don't want to be known as, oh, if you have one, you have to have the other. I mean, that's disastrous for both of us, really, and puts too much pressure on. But yes, of course, I love working with him. And I also love working with Janusz Kaminski. I mean, I really thoroughly enjoy working with Janusz. I think he's wonderful to work with, and really collaborative and inclusive.
Yeah, Janusz, who you worked on, I believe every single one of Spielberg's films.
That's right.
I want to touch on that Oscar night where you won for your Oscar in Braveheart, and John also won for cinematography for Braveheart. If you could talk about a little what that night was for you, but also it is pretty uncommon. I'm not sure if it's ever happened before that a couple is nominated and wins on the same night. So if you could touch on that larger significance of what it was like for you both to win together.
Well, the peculiar thing was that I was shooting The Fifth Element in the UK, so I could only fly in for the weekend. So, you know, and in fact, you know, as the car came to pick me up to take me to Heathrow to fly over, I was actually putting eyelashes on one of the flight attendants, you know, so it was a bit of a push and a shove. But yes, it was wonderful, actually. And at that time, for the Academy Awards, there are different kind of formats that they use. And at that time, you sat with your category. So all the makeup people sat together, all the cinematographers sat together. So we couldn't sit together. And so they were all on the left of the theatre, and we were tucked up on the right-hand side. So once we went in there, we weren't together. So that was weird. And the Makeup and Hairstylist Award came first. So, you know, we went up and did all of that, and then came back and sat down. And then John's cinematography was up and he won. And I got so excited. This is a funny thing. So I got so excited that I shot in the air with my arms up and I had new shoes. You know how slippy they can be. And they were satin as well. And they caught, and I just shot underneath the seat in front. my feet slipped and I got wedged underneath in
That's so
front
funny.
and had to apologize to everyone and say, I'm terribly sorry. It's because my boyfriend won. Anyway, it was a really exciting night. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. And Braveheart had their own party. So there was Mel and some of the cast had flown over, even those that couldn't, you know, attend the awards. It was at Chasen's in LA. And you know, they were watching it on a big screen and we all just took our shoes off because obviously we want to do that at the end of an evening. So we took our shoes off and were sitting around and just enjoying each other. It was magical. It was really magical. Slightly unbelievable to me, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, Academy Awards and those kind of things weren't really a part of, I mean, everyone dreams about it, you know, but you don't actually think it's going to become a reality, or at least I didn't. So it was sort of unbelievable and rather peculiar and wonderful all at the same time.
Yeah. Similar to working with filmmakers on a recurring basis, like Spielberg, who you've worked on several films with, actors, it's no different. You've worked with Tom Cruise on several films. But one I want to touch on is Michael Caine, who you've worked on several pictures as well. And one of which that really sticks out to me and has become this sort of cult film over time and seen as one of the great Christmas movies today is The Muppet Christmas Carol, and his performance just being so lauded. And it certainly does stick out in your work as, you know, being sort of unlike all the rest of the films you've worked on in your career. Can you touch on what it was like working on a Muppet movie and working with Michael in that atmosphere as opposed to the others?
Well, Sir Michael, as he is now,
yes,
Sir Michael, I absolutely adore. He was fundamental in, you know, educating me as a person. You know, he was a self-made person. You know, he self-educated, speaks French beautifully, by the way, and, you know, very knowledgeable about food and wine and all those things, and was really very kind to me. And so working on the Muppet Christmas Carol, actually, it's, if someone asks me, what's your favourite film that you've worked on? There's a part of me that always wants to say the Muppet Christmas Carol because it was such fun. I mean, you cried with laughter. And Michael's a terrible giggler anyway. He's got a wonderful sense of humour. And we'd spend half the day, you know, blowing our noses and wiping our eyes because the puppeteers and the Muppets themselves are hilarious, not only when it's scripted, but when it's unscripted. They're constantly doing things that make you laugh, like a tap on the shoulder and the saxophone player from the band. You know, I get a tap on the shoulder, I turn around and he tries to kiss me, you know, and then want to sort of pretending to smoke a cigarette, you know, that character. I mean, just ridiculous, fun, childlike, glorious, glorious. And Brian was so lovely to work with as a director. And the feeling just went through so much so that I think it was every other week on a Saturday for an hour, people with their children could come to visit. So all the puppeteers remained under the rostrums, you know, with their hand up in the puppets themselves. So it looked real. And so the illusion wasn't broken for children. And the costume department, I'll never forget this. So there are racks of costumes and they went from tiny little mice costumes that were about, you know, 2 inches big with the character's name on, you know, hanging on a tiny little hanger all the way through to the giant costumes. And Miss Piggy had her own rack of clothes. I mean, it just things like that. It was just glorious and it suited Michael and myself so well. That was the thing. It was the film we were made to do.
Yeah, and what I love so much about his performance is that he played Scrooge so straight and as if he wasn't even acting opposite these Muppet characters. He wasn't playing a kid Scrooge. He was playing the original Dickens version of Scrooge, which was just so fascinating to watch.
Absolutely. No, wonderful performance. Well, he's a great actor. He
Yeah.
really is a good actor and so professional. I'm terribly fond of Michael. I mean, really, he's a wonderful person. Yeah, he really is. And I'm so upset that he's retired.
I
I
know.
want him to go on forever.
Yeah. I had two very last quick questions for you. And the first is, do you have any upcoming projects that you're currently working on, about to work on, that we have to look forward to?
Oh, I couldn't tell you even if I knew I had one. It's a jinx for a start. And secondly, you're not allowed to disclose those
Sure.
things anymore. Or things have, you know, peculiar working titles that don't make sense to anyone. But yes, there are a couple of projects. We'll see. You know, fingers crossed, they
Yeah.
come off.
And for my last question, since you are being honored by TCM, which is just this repertoire for the best in classic film, what are some of your favorite go-to classic films that you always find yourself coming back to and revisiting?
Oh my God, I've got about 100.
Go
I mean, you know, it's like, what's your favorite film? Well, which
through a
one?
few.
You know, so I would say Rebecca, now Voyager, Citizen Kane, Love All the Thin Man. Oh gosh, anything Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, absolutely adore all of those. Some Abbott and Costello, not all. Some Marx Brothers, but not all. Night at the Opera being my favorite. Trying to think what else. Oh, and then that's before you get into Double Indemnity, you know, all
Yeah.
of them. Love it.
Double Indemnity, which I believe is going to be screening next weekend. So
Yes,
it's
guess where I'm
exciting.
going to be?
Yep. I can only imagine. Well, Lois, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, and congratulations on such a well-deserved honor by TCM. So long
Oh, thank
overdue.
you. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's really sweet of you.
Of course. Have
Hope
a
to
one.
see you there.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to the Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.